Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Yeah, we're back for hour number two. We've got a game time in about 25 minutes. We're going to set some lineups while we're doing this show. You guys got to set some lineups while you're listening to the show. Here's a question for you two experts, Jim and Scott. By the way, thanks for listening on TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, and a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you. We appreciate it. We're going through rankings. We'll do running backs here in a minute or two. You find those on rotoexperts.com. Scott Engel, the king. He's the guy that's doing those rankings and getting them updated down to the minute. Somebody in one of my leagues just sent out a reminder. I don't know if he's a commissioner or a co-commissioner. He just sent out a reminder to... Hey, everybody, it's 9:30. Scott, you're in that league with me. It's not. Yeah, remember, there's a 9:30 game. Yes. Do you think that's necessary?
We're the top two in that league.
Right. So do you think that was necessary?
Probably for somebody like Corey, who's probably,
My point is that this is an adult's league. This is an adult's league. It's a competitive league. There's a little bit of cash on the line. I don't need reminders.
Exactly, which is why the email went out to Corey. You know, he's 1-5, and he's probably on the verge of quitting again.
I'm saying
out of it again.
I would prefer that email not go out. It's my opinion, my personal opinion. I would prefer that email not go out.
Yeah, right. Why give anybody the helpful hints? You don't need to.
I don't want anybody.
There are bigger problems in the world than this, Mike. You know.
Yeah. Well, we're also broadcasting a fantasy sports show. Do you want me to talk about the situation in Saudi Arabia?
There are bigger problems in fantasy than that. You have to.
Hey, I'm going to give Mike a shout-out here, though. Failed to mention it last week. Sorry, Mike. Number one last week in Scott Fishbowl. Fell down a little bit this week, but still top 10 out of 900 teams in the Scott Fishbowl is pretty damn incredible. So great job, Mike.
Thanks, bud. It's been a pretty good run. I do think it is starting to turn. In leagues like that, you can't falter really at all, right? And people are going to have...
Yeah, no, you can't miss a week. You're right. Yeah.
So I had Kamara off last week, so it kind of hurt the top end totals, why I dropped off a little bit. But I'm going to lose, unfortunately, now the value of James Conner and Carlos Hyde kind of in one fell swoop. Those have been two of my staple running backs. And now, obviously, Conner can be mitigated, technically eliminated. I think it's probably more mitigated than eliminated from fantasy value. And then Carlos Hyde, we don't really even know what he's going to be, right? We just don't know. He could.
It's funny, in the fishbowl.
What's it? Yeah.
In the fishbowl, it's like I won my league last year and nearly won it the year before. Now I'm having an awful year. I'm like, I have yet to win. But get this. Talk about a people start on Thursday night. The other guy in the Cardinals defense. Going into today, I'm losing 1-0.
Well, I played against the Denver defense twice this week, so tough way to start out. The league where I'm losing Gordon and Gronk is the league I played against Denver in. So the Denver defense put up a 38. I'm going to get a zero at tight end, and Melvin Gordon's not playing. I can't say I feel good. Anything's possible, but I can't say I feel good. So, my point of that email is, I don't want people to remind the adults of setting their lineups. We don't need that. Sometimes I feel like there's an ulterior motive to, hey, the guy that's playing the guy that's in second place, make sure you set your lineup. Anyway, as you said, Scott, there's probably bigger fish to fry. So
you thought it was all about you.
I always think it's all about me. What do you think? I always think that. So, well, thank you, Jim, for the shout out. But we'll see if I can keep it going. I'll probably make the playoffs there, I would think. But we'll see if I can keep it going. So let's get to Scott's ranks for running backs. And again, you can go to rotoexperts.com, exclusive edge package, find all this stuff. Todd Gurley coming in at number one. I mean, just he's the highest projected player on the whole slate, to give you a sense from Daily Roto, regardless of position, more than all the quarterbacks. So Todd Gurley comes in at number one against the Niners, who Jim appropriately
said. Don't the thing
said.
Is about Gurley?
What's that? He's very
it's
good?
It's like if it's no, just the fact that, like,
well, he
just eats up so much yardage. If it's, like, first and goal from, the eight, that's, like, first and goal from the half-yard line for everybody else.
Yeah. What's amazing, too, is that there have been games where he's seen a tremendous amount of volume. But what's amazing is that he doesn't even need, to your point, he hasn't even needed the tremendous amount of volume to be so efficient to score touchdowns, catch passes, and generally have a whole bunch of yardage, Scott.
Yeah, and 2 years ago, this guy was a bust.
Yeah. The offensive line stunk.
People were ready to write him off as one of the biggest busts.
How things change. Get a couple of veteran offensive linemen, and then you're the best team in the league. Saquon Barkley comes in at number two. Atlanta loves to give up a short pass to a running back. They sort of funnel everything in that way, and the defense is – they're getting a couple of guys back, but they're still pretty banged up. So Barkley comes in at number two. Expect a lot of passes to be caught for Barkley. Zeke Elliott at number three. Joe Mixon at number four. Good matchup there. Kareem Hunt at number five. So both running backs in that KC-Cincinnati game with an expected total right now. Let's check the most updated one at 57.5. It opened at 58.5, came down slightly, but still the highest on the slate. So both running backs there in the top five. Chris McCaffrey, get him back against Philly. Alvin Kamara, you get him back off of the bye week at Baltimore. James White at eight, Sony Michel at nine. Again, both New England running backs in the top 10. Nick Chubb at number 10. Scott moves him all the way up there. Kind of like that move. David Johnson at number 11. That's, I mean, what an absolute dumpster fire that team is. It's just...
No, but actually it worked out great for owners of any Arizona player because they just had to get rid of that coordinator, and I'm glad they finally did it. Maybe it gives them an uptick.
Yeah. I just didn't like the coaching hiring the way it was done this year. I just felt like it was... It's not that Steve Wilks... Yeah, can't be a good head coach, or that Mike McCoy can't be a capable offensive coordinator. I just felt like it was thrown together in a weird way. They didn't have a prior existing relationship, a long existing relationship, and you have a defensive coordinator and a rookie QB, and I don't always love that dynamic. I'd rather it be an offensive-minded coach, like you see with Chicago bringing in an offensive guy to... Like you can already see the growth in Mitch Trubisky, right? I get it that he's got more experience and he's in his second year, but because he brought in two offensive-minded guys in Nagy and Helfrich, who's very creative offensively, it's already helped Trubisky. We're already seeing it. And I just don't know that Josh Rosen being with Byron Leftwich now and Steve Wilks, I don't know if that's the right duo, but we'll see. As you said, it needed to be done.
It can only help. It can't hurt.
That's right. Alex Collins at number 12, Scott, playing against the Saints. Alex Collins, we're seeing, obviously, here in your rankings, a little bit of a resurgence. Do you see that Buck Allen barely touched the ball last week? Do we think Alex Collins can move back into this RB1 category on a regular basis?
Not on a regular basis. He's hopefully can move back into RB2 territory. The only reason he's in RB1 is because, you know, you have some other guys off and injured, which moves him up. But then, you know, we saw they used him mostly at the goal line last week. And then, you know, when they play against New Orleans, there's going to be a lot of goal line opportunities for him this week. And he always rips off a nice run or two every week.
Phillip Lindsay at number 13. Man, I benched him. I benched Phillip Lindsay twice. And it was close. I was really debating putting him in both leagues, and I left him on the bench. I played Fitzgerald in one league and not in the other. Just the Thursday night, just one of those games that kind of snuck up on me. You don't always, you know, we have so many teams. You don't sometimes, you're always checking your lineups to make sure that the proper guys are in there, but sometimes it doesn't spark your memory that, oh, yeah, I have a bunch of guys playing tonight, and that was one of those moments on Thursday. So I was sitting here in studio with Dane Martinez at 8 o'clock on Thursday night, just ripping through all my lineups, making decisions. So Mark Ingram at 14. So you like him. I mean, Jim, we got both Saints RBs here in the top 15. You feel pretty good about that. I've been wondering about Ingram, but projections have him doing pretty well here against Baltimore.
Look, in this offense, Ingram's always going to get those shots for those short touchdowns at the very least. He's going to get those chances inside the red zone at the very least, even against this tough Baltimore defense. He'll get those shots. And, when you add in the other ground game that he's going to give you, it always gives him a shot to be a top producer. So I can't fault Scott for any of those. Both of those guys, I think, are going to be highly involved in this game. And I just see, again, you just can't trust the top defenses to be able to stop top offenses anymore.
The next three guys are part of the injury parade. Matt Breida at 15, Tevin Coleman at 16, Devonta Freeman IR'd this week. T.J. Yeldon, at 17 with Leonard Fournette out and Carlos Hyde. Maybe playing a limited role, maybe just playing, period. So Breida, Coleman, and Yeldon at 17. Tariq Cohen at 18. Kerryon Johnson at 19, LeSean McCoy at 20, Austin Eckler at 21. I could see him being higher. But Tariq Cohen is become, as Scott has mentioned a couple of times so far, Jim, Tariq Cohen has just become a much better option than Jordan Howard. Between Jordan Howard fumbling and Jordan Howard being generally inefficient, Tariq Cohen is the type of dynamic player, even though he can't be a workhorse back, he's the type of dynamic player that Nagy wants in that offense.
Look, he has every chance to be that guy we saw Duke Johnson be last year, catching, that many balls each week and being highly involved. And Duke Johnson showed you don't need to be in every down back to be a top 10 producer in fantasy PPR leagues. And, that's where he's sitting. He's sitting right in that place where they trust him now. They're getting him highly involved. And, he just adds to that quick speed offense that they're trying to establish.
Scotty, LeSean.
Duke had a really good year last year out of desperation. But I never had him top 20 in any week, maybe usually top 25, or usually I didn't have him top 20. Tariq Cohen's more explosive than Duke Johnson. Tariq Cohen can score from anywhere on the field.
Duke Johnson has that pretty much that ability, too. I'm not sure he's that much better than Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson, it might have been out of desperation that they went to him, but he did a lot with the balls that he got anyway. He's still a good playmaker in this league. I'm not putting him down, but
Tariq Cohen is much more electric than Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson cannot score from anywhere on the field. He's good. I like him. Well, I wouldn't say I like him. He's a good player when they have to use him in certain certain situations. But Tariq Cohen is just electric and explosive.
You like him so much you have him at 31 this week. But that is a flex play. Yes, Duke Johnson.
You're talking about my flex rank of.
I'm just saying Duke Johnson's your 31st running back. You like him. You don't love him. You could put him in the flex in certain scenarios.
Yeah, because, and Tariq Cohen may also, get obviously a bigger portion of the snaps than Duke Johnson might, but Duke Johnson's going to be involved.
Yeah. So this is the portion – this is the time of year where the running back position is getting super depressing because after Kerryon Johnson, we got LeSean McCoy. I sort of like him this week. I think it's interesting. But then you have Austin Eckler, who we now know could be higher than this because Melvin Gordon is out. We have Ito Smith, who's now ranked because Devonta Freeman is out for the year. We have Latavius Murray, who's a top 25 back because Dalvin Cook is out till God knows when. Isaiah Crowell at number 24. Adrian Peterson at 25. Both of those guys banged up. Marlon Mack is back in the mix. He was banged up. And then you got Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood at 27 and 28. And they're ranked because Jay Ajayi is out for the year. So this has been a ton of fun going through these rankings this morning. Jim, of all those names I ripped off, McCoy, Eckler, Ito Smith, Latavius Murray, any of these guys you think could break out, even Adrian Peterson, any of these guys you think could break out today? You want one you like more than the others?
Well, he's got a few of these guys. Yeah, he's got a few guys down a little further than I do. I don't like Tevin Coleman because I just don't know what's going to happen between him and Ito Smith and how far the breakdown is going to be. We could see Ito Smith take a lot of that early down work from Coleman, who hasn't been productive in that role. So that whole situation scares me. I like Kerryon Johnson this week with Theo Riddick out. I just expect him to catch four or five balls as opposed, included with his running game. I think he has a good game this week, so I have him a lot higher. I do like McCoy this week. So there's a few guys I would put over Coleman, over Yeldon now, especially now that Hyde is going to play some snaps. So, you know, there's a couple guys here that I like. Johnson, Cohen, McCoy would all be above those guys for me.
Yeah, you got guys.
I like all of them. I think I have more ranked, you know, in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
And Daily Roto likes McCoy as a play today. You know, they talk about how Derek Anderson, you know, actually is an improvement. You know, he's a veteran quarterback that could probably move the team down the field. And, you know, that help only, could only help McCoy.
Yeah.
Should also help Kelvin Benjamin. Since these two have a little bit of history, he's the only one who has any history with Anderson on the team. So we might see an uptick for Kelvin Benjamin this week as well.
I can't even blame
him. Yeah, I actually moved him up to 51 wide receiver. That's so he might actually want to like take practice catches from Anderson today.
Yeah. So what was that about? I mean, that guy, he's developing a hell of a reputation in this league. Scott, I'm not even. With your running back rankings, I don't even know what to do with it anymore. Like, look at all those names I ripped off that are now number two backs on their team because of injuries, or are now starting because of trades and all this other kind of stuff. The amount of dynamics that are going on at the running back position in week 7 are pretty crazy. Big time players, first round top 15 backs are toast right now in the worst kind of way. Having a guy out with an ACL injury and losing him is terrible. It's even worse to have stuff like David Johnson just plays every week and can't do anything. And then the other guys like Fournette or Dalvin Cook's going to practice on Wednesday. And then by Thursday afternoon, you're like, yeah, he's out. So it's the worst kind of guys to own. You'd almost just rather be done with it as opposed to stashing this guy and never knowing when to play them. You know what I mean, Scott?
Yeah, and, you know, you learn some lessons, too. Like, Freeman, Fournette, and Cook were all injury risk going in. And, you know, some fantasy analysts say any player can get any time injured at any time in football. It's true. But some guys just have more of a propensity for an injury than others.
No doubt. It's my
theory. Yeah, but we've said that a lot of people over the past. Fred Taylor was like that at the beginning of his career. Matt Stafford was like that at the beginning of his career.
Frank Gore.
And they both turned it around.
We'll be right back.
Frank Gore, right.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We're back on FST, Game Day Edition.
Yeah!
BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. So BetDSI is now offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit if you use promo code FNTSY. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code FNTSY, head on over to BetDSI and start winning today. So we got the game coming up in
little new Ace Frehley there, yeah.
8 minutes. Yeah, look. You're the man. Part of the Kiss Army, right? You have like a ranking.
New album dropped Friday.
You have a new rank. You have a ranking.
Oh, did it drop Friday? I was waiting for that. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, I was at the listening party on Thursday.
Look at this guy.
Oh, nice.
A ranking member of the Kiss Army, right?
Yes. New album Spaceman is out. Yes.
All right. I'm going to be selfish here for a second because we're getting right up on game time. Would you play? Here's my Scott Fishbowl team, since we were talking about that earlier. I know you guys are technically competing against me, but you're going to help me here. Right now at running back.
Anybody
sure we are. Sure we are.
Right now I have Crowell, Kamara, and Deion Lewis in. I have at
Deion Lewis.
Hang on one sec.
Yeah, really.
Relax. I'm not done yet. I'm not done. Relax. At wide receiver, I have Kiki.
You are if you're running out Deion Lewis.
I have Kiki Kuti, Marquise Goodwin, and Josh Gordon. I have Adam Thielen and Robert Woods, Cameron Brate at tight end over Jeff Swaim. Should I play Jeff Swaim over Cameron Brate? I might actually do that.
I would play Jeff Swaim over Deion Lewis because you get more points.
Yeah,
for
I could do that.
A tight end. I'm always sticking a tight end in there. I get Deion Lewis out of there and get Jeff Swaim in there.
But I got other guys like Taywan Taylor and Dante Moncrief and Frank Gore and Carlos Hyde that I could play as well. So I'll bench Deion Lewis for one of those guys.
I would do it for Swaim.
So you wouldn't?
I like putting the tight end in there. You know. Okay.
So no Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, and no, just so people realize,
like five touches.
We're emphasizing the tight end just because of the scoring in this league, folks. So that's why we're
extra
saying put the tight end in that league, right?
And no Taywan Taylor.
Yeah.
Okay. How could you trust him? How could you trust anybody on that Tennessee offense?
I can't. I just bench both Titans. So I'm just look. I'm walking through it, guys. I just like. Just like I do every Sunday, and
why are you asking us anyway? I'm 6-0. I'm 0-6. You're 6-0. What the hell are you asking me for?
How are you 0-6 in Scott Fishbowl? How is that possible?
Nothing's gone right for me.
It happens. It happens to everybody. All of us have teams like
that.
Yeah, really. We all have teams like that. There's no doubt. Yeah. But here's a couple of points on Mariota just to emphasize that. Yeah. He's been under 130 passing yards in 4 out of 5 games. He's only thrown 2 touchdowns with 4 interceptions so far. So, you know, it's really hard to trust any of these Titans players, even Corey Davis, even, you know, as he continues to see a high amount of targets, it's just hard to trust him.
I agree. My compadre, Dane Martinez, we own one team together. He's criticizing our management style because we're going to take a 0 at tight end, but I think we deserve that. It also was not.
That's more the fault of the way the league is set up.
I agree. It's really. And I'm the commissioner.
Not your fault at all.
I am the commissioner, and I'm telling you, I looked at the settings multiple times between last week and this week, assuring that I had it set up properly, and it didn't work. I don't know what's going on with CBS, but
that's why I never play on CBS Fantasy Leagues. I just don't. I hate that site.
Yeah, I think I'm out too. We didn't set Scott and I didn't set it up. So.
Jim Day burning bridges here on Fantasy Sports Radio.
Oh, I burned that bridge a long time ago. I don't like that site at all.
No,
never have.
From a content standpoint, it's fine. There is something with the user interface that I don't love either. I'm a My Fantasy League guy. I just think that is the easiest one to use, and it gives you the most.
They have a whole customer service team though, devoted to fantasy though. If you got to get the right person on the phone, and
that'll
really be helpful.
I think you're right. I've been unable to do that thus far. So I put a note in. We'll see if they can get back to me eventually. So. We are at wide receiver now as we roll through the rankings. Adam Thielen, he's the man. He's leading the league in multiple categories, and he's going to be here at the Jets today, seeing if he can put up another double-digit target game. A.J. Green comes in at number 2.
Oh, hell yeah.
Tyreek Hill at number 3. Julio Jones at number 4. DeAndre Hopkins comes in at number 5, so usual suspects up here. Stephon Diggs at 6, so Scotty likes both Minnesota wide receivers today. Jets a little banged up in the secondary. Odell Beckham, number 7 on Monday night. Robert Woods, whose value is coming in huge with Cooper Kupp out today. Robert Woods' value is the top value in DFS at the wide receiver position. One of the top projected players in all of fantasy football at the wide receiver position. Mike Thomas comes in at number 9. Mike Evans at number 10. Brandon Cooks at 11. Tyler Boyd at 12. That's your wide receiver ones. Tyler Boyd making an appearance there. Obviously the high point total, Jim, in that game, the highest point total on the slate. And you have 2 Cincinnati wide receivers, 2 Minnesota wide receivers, and 2 Rams wide receivers all in the top 12.
No, hey, look, they're just getting it done, no doubt about it. I mean, Dylan and Diggs have nice matchups today going against the Jets, who are second in the league in passing yardage allowed to wide receivers. So, you know, definitely got to love this matchup. It might be a little windy, which might affect Diggs a little more. Really shouldn't affect Dylan at all. Like we said, more of that intermediate short passing game where he just takes it from there. So we should see a lot of that today if the winds do creep up. So, you know, you can't really take anything away from Thielen is the number one fantasy tight end on the season. And, you know, just nobody you can really even mess with. He has to be in the lineup no matter who you go against.
Scott, clearly, stacking. I mean, people are thinking DFS, you can stack any one of those games of the quarterback and the duos at wide receiver, correct? You can do a Dalton, Green, Boyd. You can do a Cousins, Thielen, and Diggs, the whole deal.
Yeah, I have a DFS lineup where, you know, I actually have four Rams in there. I have Woods, I have Cooks, I have Gurley, and I have Goff.
Cooks, Gurley, Goff, Woods. I would, if you're going to stack that, I would go the other way, too. I'd pick a Goodwin or a Breida or a Kittle, come back on the other side, because you would figure Beathard would have to throw his way back
into Beathard in one of my lineups.
So there you go. But so a little DFS tip for everybody. Colin Drew, who did a really nice job last week, he took down a $175,000 prize and a $72,000 prize in back-to-back days, nonetheless. He wrote
Hold on. We're talking about stacking Cincinnati and Kansas City, but they're the late game.
Oh, that's my bad. So that's my bad on that.
Yeah.
So that'll have to be.
It's not your bad. You can do that in like the DraftKings showdown.
Yeah. You can.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
It's ultimately all stacks when you're doing just the showdown. But you can play some Sunday, Monday slates too. I'm
trying to save you there.
Conceivably. Right. Thank you. You can do some Sunday, Monday.
Well, don't forget Uzoma then.
Yeah. CJ Uzoma. But in general, talking about. So let's just take the Rams Niners game that Scott was talking about. the strategy for stacking, and I've said this a bunch of times. I've probably said it almost every week. I can't remember which show I say it on. But Colin Drew has done a really nice job this year in winnings. He wrote an article at the beginning of the year about stacking. And in those bigger tournaments, the strategy for stacking really is using four or more players in the game because it provides the right combination. Now, you have to hit, obviously, but it provides the right combination of low ownership and output that you would need. And typically, the best way to do it is three players from one team, one on the other side. So what Scott is talking about, Scott's got four in one team, and he can come back the other way with another one. That's okay, too. But an ideal setup would be, you know, Goff, Woods, Cooks, Goodwin. Obviously, you can use Gurley there because he's the top play in all of fantasy football. So you can do Goff, Gurley, Woods, Breida, or Kittle, or Goodwin, or whomever you want. But that's really a good way to go about it. It provides some lower ownership, and it does allow you to still gain a lot of output. I think that's a game that people will look to, too, because the Rams are
It's not the only way to win, though, of course. Like, there's more than one way to win.
Somebody won $1 million with Brock Osweiler and Albert Wilson lineup up.
Right, exactly. I was going to say that. And then also, when you use a default Daily Roto lineup optimizer, a lot of times it's not going to spit out just a stack. It may give you two or three guys from the same team, but I very often haven't seen the stacking. I think the stacking I do more manually than anything else.
So
using the group function.
Yes. So good stuff. And by the way, I'm going to do a Daily Roto. I might as well do the Daily Roto read right now while we're talking about it because I was lining that up. So the DailyRoto.com NBA lineup optimizer is now available. That means you can use the same tools and projections that DailyRoto.com NFL premium subscribers are using to win each week for NBA DFS contests. You've heard a lot about the DailyRoto.com NFL DFS optimizer here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and how its subscribers are winning tournament prizes on FanDuel and DraftKings and the thousands, hundreds of thousands, and the $7 million winners they've produced. Well, now you can double your pleasure and cash on the NBA Daily Fantasy Party as well. If you're playing Daily Fantasy Sports and you aren't using the Daily Roto tools, projections, and optimizers, you're doing it wrong, and you're at a competitive disadvantage. So go to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, and enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount. Start winning today. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. DailyRoto.com, the site where millionaires are made, literally. Let's get back to wide receivers. The wide receiver two conversation starts with Jarvis Landry. Golden Tate comes in at number 14. Emmanuel Sanders, monster game the other night. Helps that he threw a touchdown pass. He came in at number 15. He'll obviously beat that projection. Kenny Golladay at number 16. What's that?
Yeah.
Scott, he's their best passer.
He was their best passer the other night.
He's their best passer.
Yeah. Keenum was.
What was that, Scott?
I know Keenum.
Who do you like from Cleveland?
14 for 21, Keenum the other night for like 166 yards and threw the touchdown. But he was terrible the other night. I know he didn't need to be good because that game was 35-3 at halftime, but I just thought like he was shaking his head a lot and I was shaking my head with him. He just didn't really look good. Doesn't matter because they annihilated the Cardinals, but I just don't know. You have weeks. I guess it's a good week to have a bad week, if that makes any sense. But Keenum just did not look sharp the other night.
He plays like a Dolphins quarterback.
Well, they might be looking for somebody after the season. They both might be.
Yeah, so, it sounds like it. Sounds like they're done with Tannehill. Yeah,
he'll be a perfect fit for the way they've gone since Burrito retired.
Yeah. They're not doing that bad this year. Like the sharps were over on the Dolphins.
They overachieved for the first 3 weeks.
I know, but this is why the sharps are on them. They're 4-2. Yeah, at the end, you are what your record says you are. I know they don't look great doing but they're 4-2. So
they're still going to be. They're going to finish 7-9 still.
Well, then they're over. That's why the sharp guys were all over.
Good Bears defense last week.
Yeah, and it's the way that schedule lined up. It's why the sharp guys were on them. That was 100 degrees in Miami Heat Index last week. It really just lined up well for them against some teams having to play in that heat. So
that's a home field advantage that a lot of people don't talk about. It's like, you know, I lived in South Florida for 8 years, and the CBS Sportsline, Mike Levy, great guy, used to give me his Dolphin tickets all the time. And it's just like it's sweltering there if you sit near the field.
Yeah. So we'll continue along. Kenny Golladay at number 16 against those Miami Dolphins in Miami. Again, still, I don't know what the weather is there today. It was so smoking hot last week. I'm looking at the weather projection right now in Miami, and it is Dolphins 86 degrees. So it's going to be pretty hot still as Detroit travels down there.
That shows what a professional Mike Blewett is. He is the only guy on this channel that would say smoking hot and would not be talking about a female.
I mean, it's a 50-50 shot, but I appreciate that, Scott.
This is not the fantasy football frenzy, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
Can I give my wife a shout-out, my smoking hot wife a shout-out? Because she turned, I'm not going to say what age she turned, but she
still being tactful.
She's her birthday is this past week, so happy birthday to Mrs. Blewett.
Happy birthday.
On this
happy birthday.
Thank you very much, guys. So
you hear Mike Blewett singing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I'm not much of a singer, so it's a good thing that you don't have to hear that on air. T.Y. Hilton, let me get back to this train wreck. T.Y. Hilton at 17. Julian Edelman at number 18. Like Edelman today with Gronk out. I think Brady uses him as even more of a cushion as he normally does. John Brown at number 19. He's kind of an interesting DFS play. I listen to the Daily Roto podcast. Those guys are liking him this week. Mike Crabtree at number 20. So you have the Ravens wide receivers back-to-back, but both in the wide receiver two conversation, both very startable in every league. Alshon Jeffrey at 21, Keenan Allen at 22, Josh Gordon at 23. I've had a couple of questions this morning on Alshon Jeffrey versus Josh Gordon. You've answered it here with your rankings, but you obviously have it pretty tight, Scott. Jim, your thoughts? You think Jeffrey over Gordon?
I like Gordon. What I saw last week, I like him this week. But Jeffrey, you know, has been the guy with Wentz so far. I think Edelman is still the guy with Brady. Gordon is going to be that, you know, that backup. I can't fault it, but he's still in, you know, wide receiver two territory, which is exactly where I see him this week, you know, for the first time all season.
At Chargers, Titans game is kicked off in London, so if you didn't set your lineup, you're screwed. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
If you didn't get that email,
check your email.
Check your email from the guy that's has to send an email out to the other adults to let them know when the games start each and every week. So, Taylor Gabriel, you have at number 24. Like him today. Demaryius Thomas at 25. He had a middling game the other night. Calvin Ridley banged up, Scotty, but you have him at 26. They have said that he'll play. You feel good about him going out against his Giants defense, correct?
Yeah, like Inside Injury says, and you can read about it this morning at rotoexperts.com. It's just a question of pain tolerance for him. And if he's not even on the injury report, you know, that's optimistic. Probably in better shape, Inside Injuries is noting, than Mohamed Sanu is. And going against the Giants, I mean, you have to like him.
Marquise, why do you have to like him? Just tell me
why.
He's
playing against the Giants.
The Giants have given up 5 passing touchdowns to wide receivers all year. One of the fewest in the league.
Oh, please. And here we go with the homer now.
Hey, it's not the homer. It's the, you know, it's the facts. It's the facts.
The Giants give up like 30 points in a game, and Jim says they play good defense.
They're still the fifth stringest fantasy defense.
Look, I'm sorry if the truth hurts. On that track,
Atlanta. You're spitting thoughts.
No, I'm not. I'm just tracking Atlanta at home. They are going to score a lot of points. Tell me how many points that Atlanta scores at home all the time.
Hey, I agree. The points are going to be up there, but it's not a guarantee that these guys are all going to go off. It's just not.
I didn't say. I ranked them 26.
Julio Jones has 707 receiving yards and no touchdowns. It's the most in franchise history without a touchdown. So that's good times. Maybe Calvin Ridley will get
those touchdowns. Hold on. Note to self. Don't say anything negative about the Giants while on air with Jim Day. Okay?
You know, the Seahawks and the Steelers are off, so you're just bashing.
Keep it to Eli, and I'm okay.
We'll be right back.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Back on FST Game Day Edition. Yeah, good stuff. Foo Fighters on a Sunday morning. So we're here to the next for the next 17 minutes. Yeah, excellent producing by Sean Engel. Agreed. Sean Engel produces me all day, so I thank him multiple times. It's just sporadic what happens. We're here for like the next 15 minutes, and I'll take over Lineup Lock Live from 10 to 1 with Gabe Morency and Corey Parson, and then they take over at 1, and they'll be here with Chris Welsh from 1 to 4, and then 4 o'clock it is Joe Galina, George Kurtz, who else? Not Bavona, Cam Stewart this week, and then you guys come back from 8 to 10 and recap. You guys are free to fight on that show, but I'm trying to keep the peace. It's Sunday morning. People are trying. I did make a mistake, by the way, with all the stuff going on. All the injuries and that kind of stuff.
Hosting this show?
That is a significant mistake. But in my lineups, I have Corey Davis in, and he's locked in now, instead of Calvin Ridley. So I hope you're right, Jim. I didn't have to play Calvin Ridley. I played Corey Davis. It all was a function of what happened on Thursday night because Ridley was questionable. I had to put Larry Fitzgerald in. And then as I was going through the lineups this morning, I just kind of missed that one. Deal. But I will ask you one. Would you bench any of these guys? I have Mark Ingram and Nick Chubb in as starting running backs right now. I have Keenan Allen and Taylor Gabriel in as starting wide receivers. I have Alex Collins and Julian Edelman in as my two flexes. Would you bench any of the guys I just mentioned for Jordan Howard, Isaiah Crowell, or Kiki Kuti? I don't think I would.
No.
I don't think so.
I like Kuti as a sneaky play today, but you know, I couldn't see using the others, though.
Yeah. You like Wentz over Andrew Luck?
No, I like Luck for more volume.
Jim?
Yeah, I'm with Scott. I mean, the one thing you know about Luck is he's just not going to stop throwing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wonder about this Buffalo defense. It's been pretty good against the pass. Been pretty good in general.
Well, I think it hurts Hilton a little bit, but you know, like Scott says, he's going to get so many targets that he's still going to produce something. I think it really Chester Rogers is going to step up in this one again, have another good game, and I like Nyheim Hines to get a little bit more involved as well.
I do think that is I think that is a pretty interesting call on Chester Rogers. I'm using him in a dynasty league just out of necessity, but I do think
The Bills are going to have three and outs, so there's going to be opportunities for Indianapolis to throw.
You're saying you don't believe in Derek Anderson?
I'm getting worried about Hines, though, because Mac is back and Hilton's back, so I'm a little concerned about him.
Daily Roto, I'm looking at their ranks right now for QBs. They like Wentz a lot today. They have Wentz as the third QB. Jameis, Goff, and then Wentz. So no love.
Well, they're basing it on pricing, too,
Yeah, right. That's
no, that's straight points. Yeah. That one's a straight point.
Oh, is that straight points?
Yeah.
That's not what I'm seeing.
Give me a second.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, that's value. That's based on value, I think.
Give me a second. I want to make sure I get this right.
That is points.
Yeah, see?
Wow, that is points.
Yeah, and they got Luck way down. I'm going to go with the Daily Roto guys on this one. They like Wentz a lot. They really do.
Hey, they want $1 million. I haven't.
It's a fair point.
Me neither.
Nor have I.
I think I've made that over my career.
Yeah, but when
shot,
when I win Powerball on Tuesday, then who's going to be? I mean, who's talking trash?
The guy plays well in the GSP.
Just remember who you co-host with on Saturdays.
On Saturdays?
Sundays.
Yeah, I will remember who it is.
Sundays,
that's George Kurtz. George Kurtz.
Remember,
you
know, known for longer.
All right, so let's just get.
Actually, Mike and I go way back too, Scotty.
The first podcast I ever did was with Tony Cincotta and Jim Day. So if we're going on historical.
No, I'm talking about at this company.
At this company, it would be you, yes. You guys are both doing the ultimate fantasy sports analyst thing and picking one specific stat and trying to prove your point. We can go a bunch of different ways, but yes. If you want me to pay the Saturday guy, it's Kurtz. If you want me to pay the guy I've known the longest, it's Jim. And if you want me to pay the guy that I've worked with the longest at this company, then it's Scott. So we got a few different options here. And let's go to tight ends real quick. Travis Kelce, he comes in at number one. He's been a monster. Zach Ertz comes in
at
number
two. What a
bum. Who? Oh, Kelce.
Kelce, he's a bum.
Yeah, right. Ebron at number three.
Yeah,
because of last week? Because he didn't have a monster game last week?
He's no Red Ellison. He's no Red Ellison.
Yeah, really.
I picked up Red Ellison.
Wow, Mike, you really let this show get away from you, Mike.
Why?
I don't know. It's just been off the rails all show.
That's the way it goes. You have a 9:30 London game, things are going to get weird. You trade Carlos Hyde on a Friday afternoon, it's going to get weird. So Kelce, Ertz, Ebron, Kittle at four. Uzuma, I'm pretty sure that's it, Jim. Uzuma at five.
Yeah,
Austin Hooper, six. And Njoku at seven. O.J. Howard at eight. Evan Ingram back in the mix. Evan Ingram at number nine. Kyle Rudolph at 10. Trey Burton at 11. Jordan Reed at 12. Greg Olsen at 13. Cam Brate at 14. Of all this stuff, I just want to get your take real quick, Jim, on the Tampa tight ends moving forward. Do you think Howard continues to outpace Brate in a significant way?
I do. I just think he's a better overall player. I mean, Brate had a great year last year with Winston, so he's still going to be in play, which kind of hurts them both going forward. But, Howard is just much more explosive, creates better mismatches, and just, finds a way to get open a little bit more than Brate does.
You find it curious, though, Scott, that they paid Brate in the offseason? They gave him, a nice extension and just gave him a four-year deal?
No, a lot of teams will run two tight ends, and we can't look at it from a fantasy perspective. Teams want to have two tight ends, one in line to help block, and the other to maybe be a pass catcher. A lot of teams value more than one tight end. NFL teams don't look at it like fantasy football owners do.
Why not? We're awesome. So who scored? I am obscured from the TV. I have to look to my left.
The guy started out of desperation this week in the fantasy frenzy.
Terrell Williams,
75-yard touchdown catch.
I'm flying out there as soon as this game is over, and I'm just going to beat Philip Rivers about the head and neck.
Phil Rivers with the long touchdown to Terrell Williams, his third touchdown in the last 2 weeks. I have him in our GST league. I don't play him.
Why is he so angry at Phillip Rivers?
Because he's not throwing the ball to Mike Williams, a bum.
Or Keenan
it's the
Allen.
First quarter. Stop it.
So the Titans kicked a field goal. Chargers come back with a really long play. If you guys have the distance of the touchdown, let me know. But it was a long one. So
75.
So there you go. 75-yard touchdown. As far as the tight end position is concerned, I can only tell you. it's been a mess this year. And this is actually the first time. And this week is actually sort of okay for options. There's not as many guys hurt. Now, the big one is out. Gronk is out. Gronk hasn't been great this year, but Gronk is out. And then you got Cincinnati has become a new thing, obviously, because Eifert's done for the year. But you got some guys back. O.J. Howard's been back for a couple of weeks. You got Evan Ingram back. So we have some of the normal tight ends starting. So will the position stabilize? I say probably not. It's just been a mess. And each and every week, you can just look at the guys who score the touchdowns. That's the guys you're going to rank in your top 10 or 12. So there you go. That's it for the tight end position. I don't know if you guys have anything else to add. I think
I just want to add something about Jordan Reed. I mean, let's face it, the guy's been healthy all year and hasn't done squat.
Yeah.
You know, just not expected. You expect him when he's healthy to be, you know, a top tight end, and it just hasn't come this year at all.
Daily Roto likes him today. He's one of the top guys on the optimizer. You know, the way that Dallas also defends the tight end and all the depletion at wide receiver. It's not like you're going to Maurice Harris, Josh
Dobson.
That's a
good point.
The two top receivers today might be Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis.
It's a good point because we did not get to some injuries, and Jamison Crowder and Paul Richardson are both out this week. Correct, Scott?
Maurice Harris.
Yes.
So
Maurice Harris was last week. He didn't do nothing.
Watch him this week.
And then we have Adrian Peterson and Chris Thompson are questionable there. I just want to see if we missed anything.
Thompson's not expected to play.
There you go. Roll Adrian Peterson out during your bye weeks, but he's banged up too. And I saw Richard Sherman was pretty questionable. That could be a game-time decision.
Game-time decision.
Let me see what else
game-time
we got.
Game-time decision. It's so weird seeing him in that uniform.
Tonight's game. Gio Bernard is out. Tyler Croft out. Billy Price out. The Chiefs will be without center Mitch Morse, who's concussion.
The Jets are without their three top corners, but, you know, maybe they're going to have to depend on the elements with the wind there, you know, maybe working to their advantage for half the game.
Makes me like the Vikings a lot. Eric Berry is out and Justin Houston are out. Eric Berry's definitely out. Justin Houston's doubtful. Looks
Gerald
like
McCoy's
play.
Out.
Yeah, we mentioned that one earlier. So I don't know that we missed any other injury news. We've covered a lot. Why don't we just do survivor picks now? What do you guys got today?
I think it's obvious you got to go with the Colts. Yeah.
It's not a crazy pick. You said it's obvious. It's funny to hear the Colts in that sentence, but it's not a bad pick
Who's
at all, obviously.
Playing the Bills. Yeah.
Yeah. So Colts playing
the Derek
Anderson.
Bills got a better record than the Colts do.
Not after today.
Jim, who do you got? Who's your survivor pick?
Man, if I'm going with a team I haven't picked before, then I'm going to pick – I think my best bet this week is Denver.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Super helpful. Super helpful.
Nice.
35-point win.
Now the show's completely got off the track and crashed into something.
Yeah, I don't know how this happened. Week 7. It's a 9:30 start. I can't
he's
deal
with
it.
He's proud of himself, too.
He's very he'll be laughing for the rest of the show. So I'm going to go. Since you guys can't take this segment seriously, I'll pick an actual team. Well, you – Scott,
I'm
going to
go with Miami. How's that? I'm going with Miami at home.
You're going with Miami at home?
I am. I'm going with Miami at home.
All right. This really has gone off the rails. This is insane. I mean, they're 4-2. They're going to be 5-2 today.
Train noises, Sean.
Yeah. So I can't pick the Vikings. I've picked them earlier. The team that I'm going with today for – and I can't pick the Rams because I've already picked them. But the team I'm going with today is the Jaguars. I know that it's not a team that inspires a lot of confidence. I just don't like the Texans going on the road to Jacksonville to pull this game off. I think Jacksonville will play some solid defense today. They'll get some hits on Deshaun Watson. You know, Dane Martinez always has been saying for weeks he's worried about Deshaun Watson's health. I think it's a legitimate concern. I think the Jaguars get back turned in the right direction. I'll go with the Jaguars today as my actual pick. The Dolphins, though?
Yeah, Inside Injuries was saying that they believe that Deshaun Watson's playing with a punctured lung.
How would they know that? Without exam?
You have to ask them.
Yeah, it's just an actual question. Like, I don't know how you would know the guy has a If he had a punctured lung.
That's why they're the medical experts and we're not.
I agree. But if he had a punctured lung, he could not play, correct?
I don't know.
I know I couldn't play with a punctured lung, but who knows?
Well, it's a good thing you're not out there trying to play then, Jim. So
exactly.
This hypothetical situation with the hypothetical punctured lung, I'm glad that you're not out there. So what else we got?
How about some DFS lineups?
Yes,
maybe I misquoted it. I'm sorry.
Let's do that.
I actually have a what I consider a pretty decent FanDuel lineup this week.
Well, it better be.
Otherwise,
you need to make some changes if it's not a decent one. So let's go FanDuel.
Yeah, really. Well, okay, Winston at 7.8, yep. Zeke at 8.4, and then Chubb at 4.8. I have Woods at 7.7, Landry at 6.5, Kurse at 5.0, Njoku at 5.7, and then Gurley in the flex at 10.2, and Detroit defense at 3.8.
Who's your tight end? That's the only one I missed.
Njoku.
And what was the defense?
For Cleveland. And the defense was Detroit.
Even though you like Miami to win that game. But it's Osweiler.
I do like Miami to win the game.
I get it.
Detroit.
I'm not criticizing you. I don't think you're being hypocritical there. Look, Miami can win the game, and Osweiler can still throw three picks. I mean, you don't want him to, but whenever you're picking those DFS defenses, you're just looking for the team that can generate some turnovers. And against Brock Osweiler, everybody can generate turnovers. So, Scotty, you have one lined up. That's a really good cash lineup. I like that a lot, Jim.
DraftKings, Jared Goff, 6,600. Todd Gurley, the second, 9,800. Kerryon Johnson, 4,500. Brandon Cook, 7,100. Robert Woods, 7,000. Taylor Gabriel, 4,700. David Njoku, 4,200. Nick Chubb, 3,600. And the Lions at 2,400.
Chubb was there, and then the Lions? You guys are focused on those two defenses. Scott, if that was a cash lineup, I would want you to get rid of one of the Rams.
That's a tournament lineup.
So there you go. All right, so all good.
I'm not really a cash game guy.
Yeah, you swing for the fences. I can appreciate it. Powerball tickets and millionaire maker.
I put in $1. I won $2. Big whoop.
It's funny. We're going to have Drew Dinkmeyer on here in about 20 minutes or so, 17 minutes, on Lineup Lock Live. But we had Mike Leone, his compadre, on last week. And Mike has said in recent podcasts for DailyRoto.com that he doesn't play cash as much. He's alluded to that. And I asked him about it, and he said that his time is better spent and there's more ROI for him in doing tournament lineups because he can spend hours doing cash game lineups and it just doesn't give as much return. Plus, he admitted that while they provide great information, the edge is smaller in cash games than it used to be a few years ago. There's more and more people running analytics and more people coming up with legitimate models. Now, DailyRoto.com
more
is the
more
best model.
More people using the lineup optimizer.
Yeah. Yeah. So like you're competing against other DailyRoto.com people in tournaments. So I would say that Leone was the one that said that he spends a little bit more time on tournament lineups. And to Scott's point, you know, maybe you get a little bit more ROI. You're working and you're doing all kinds of adjusting of lineups. All right, well, so we've got to, I can't help you put your mic on. You got to put it on. The producer's got to put it on. All right, it's Corey Parsons says hello. Scott.
Hello, lady.
To those of you that listen to these last 2 hours, I apologize.
Is this your king?
Jim and Scott will be back tonight on Fantasy Football assistant. Rewind from 8 to 10. It's a good thing Corey got that reminder email that set his lineup this morning. Lineup Lock Live is next with me, Corey, and Gabe. We'll be right back. Good luck this week.
They thought he quit the league.
Yeah.